Good evening.
Good evening.
There are a lot of things I'd like to know. And sometimes that's not given to us. But then again, we are going to be held responsible for what we do know.
Yes.
I've seen some things change where I work. And it made people consider what they were going to do as far as their life was concerned when it comes to retirement and so forth. And you begin to think about other things as well. You know, we sing a song that says eternity draws near as time moves on. You ever stop to think that by the end of this day, you are one day closer to whenever that time will be? And I'm mindful. There was a man I worked with years ago, and we were sitting in the break room, and I don't know how the subject came up, but he made a comment and said, well, he's heard all his life that this world was going to come to an end. And he was at that time like 55 or 56 years old. Yeah. And he said, it hasn't come to an end yet. And someone else asked him, well, Bob, how old are you? And he repeated it. And then they asked him again, how old are you? And he told them the third time. And they asked again, how old are you? And he got a little flabbergasted with them. Because it was like, you just heard me. But the person that wasn't getting the point was him. And they finally explained, says, well, you are 55, 56 years old, but how old is that? You really haven't been here on this earth very long.
Right.
So you could say you've heard this all your life, but you haven't been here very long. And the writer lets us know that the earth is going to disappear.
Yes.
We will be called out into the great unknown. Yes. He said to reap what I have sown, summoned before the throne. So the question is, then where shall I go? People don't think too much about that in this day and time. I heard someone make a comment a few years ago that the average person cannot handle a $500 bill. And so in other words, if something happens to their car or something takes place where the cost to them is now $500, he said the average person in this country doesn't have the money in their savings account to pay it. That seems kind of mind-boggling to me. Seems kind of hard to believe, but what it tells me is that people don't plan. They don't look very far out into the future. And so it is, even with the spiritually, people don't look very far out into the future as to where they will end up, where they will go. Yet time is moving on. One of the things that affected some of the people at work was that they changed the actuarial tables concerning an annuity that some had invested in. So if you stayed beyond July the 1st of this year, you would lose money. And it would take you many years to make it up. And that caused a lot of people to decide that, well, I'm retiring now. That wasn't maybe the initial desire. Some felt like, well, I'm going to keep on working. I'm gonna keep making this money. But that changed their viewpoint. And so they determined to go. We have looked at some statistics, and you find that people that are 65 and older In the space of about 20 years, right now they say there's approximately 18 million people in this country that are in that age range. 20 years from now, there'll only be about 6 million. About 10 to 11 million of those people will have passed away at various ages by that point in time. And it really tells you, and I'm reminded, Sister Sarita's grandfather, Grandpa Tut, when he got beyond 70, sometimes he would tell us, I'm living on borrowed time. Mm-hmm. Sometimes he would even say, I'm living on somebody else's time. And he lived till he was 88. And then a blood clot suddenly took him out of here. Immediately. And it was so fast that the doctors, after their autopsy and whatnot, told the family that even if we knew it was coming, and if we had been standing right by his bedside, we still wouldn't have been able to do anything for him. It would have taken him out that quick. The nurse had come in to check on him. He had gotten dehydrated from the flu, and they put him in the hospital. He seemed to be doing real good, was laughing and talking with the nurse when she came in to make her check, and a few minutes later, he was gone. Where are you going to end up? Sometimes people don't want to think about that time frame. And as time has gone on, I've learned and observed that, first of all, you don't have to be sick to die. Secondly, you can leave this world at any time. And I'm mindful, Brother Charles Chandler said that sometimes he would be in a place and he would go walking through the cemetery and just look at headstones while he was thinking about things. And obviously he would see that there were all ages there in the cemetery, from infant child on up to the very age, as we might would call it today. So time is running out for all of us. And yet, we're going to have to give an account.
Yes.
The time of judgment is something that I think is hard for people to grasp, because it's something they've never seen before, and they won't see it until it happens. But nevertheless, stop and think about what the writer says. So I want to go to 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, starting with the first verse, reading down through verse 12. Consider what the writer tells us, and then think about what you're going to be summoned to meet.
This second epistle, beloved,
yes,
I now write unto you.
And he has a purpose in his writing.
In both which I stir up your pure minds
by way of remembrance,
that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before the holy prophets,
yes,
and the commandments to us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days,
scoffers shall come,
walking after their own desires,
their own lusts, whatever controls them, they will pursue it.
And saying,
Where is the promise of his coming?
For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation.
It's been going this way all this time, and it's still going on that way. So you said he's coming. When is he coming?
For this they willingly are ignorant of.
Yes.
That by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water
and in the water.
Whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished.
Yes, talking about the flood. Read on.
But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men.
Yes.
But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. That one day is with the Lord as a thousand years,
yes,
and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness,
but is long-suffering
to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat.
Now, I don't know what kind of picture any of this will bring to your mind. But you consider, first of all, it said he will come as a thief in the night.
Yes.
So we're going to all be doing, if he comes in this day and time, whatever it is we have a mind to do.
Yes.
And he will show up. But I made a comment at home, and I will say, when Judgment Day comes and the trump is blown, I think every single person will recognize what that sound means. And you've never heard it before. I'm mindful, Brother Williams was preaching once, we were living there in Wichita, and he said he had went to sleep, and I guess there was a short that occurred in his car, and so the horn just went to blaring. And every now and then, back in those days, you would hear somebody's horn go off like that, and then they'd have to go out there and disconnect the battery in order to stop it, and then try to disconnect the horn and get it repaired at a later moment, you know, to take care of the short. But he said when he awoke, he thought it was Judgment Day then. He said he went to shout. And his first wife, Sister Jimmy, said, "You better go out there and see about that horn." But I'm persuaded that when that time comes, you and I have never heard the trump of God. Many, many others that have walked upon the face of this earth have never heard it. But when that day comes and that sound comes forth, no one's going to ask, "What is that sound?" That's the way I see it. And as we consider it, it only tells you how serious this matter is and how we need to be ready and prepared. And he told them here to not be willingly ignorant. There are some that choose to do so and try to ignore what God's word has to say. But you're not going to be able to get by that way. And as we go through this life, you consider he spoke about how at one point the world was overflowed with water.
Yes.
It won't happen that way the next time. Mm-hmm. And you consider, what is it going to take to melt all of this with the fervent heat? And it dissolves and disappears. I've wondered about that from time to time. And finally, I came to understand it in this way. Man has, with the creation of nuclear fission, the atomic bomb, has learned how to create a chemical reaction that splits atoms. When that happens, tremendous amounts of heat are generated, and it destroys everything close to it. When they dropped the bomb in Hiroshima, writers have pointed out that people's images were burned into the buildings that they were standing next to when it went off. They've given their estimates as to how far away the devastation occurred from that bomb. The radius, you know, how many feet. And we're not talking 50 feet or 100 feet, but much, much further out than that. Things were burned up, but then there were a lot of things that were not burned up. People were vaporized, but some of the buildings still stood. But he said in this day, the earth and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and all the works that are therein shall be burned up. Some people can't grasp that, it seems, so they say it'll be burned over. But he said they'll be burned up. And one thing I came to recognize, when you consider the effort to release this atoms, or these atoms, the heat that is generated burns up a lot of things. The Lord walked upon the water. Yes. He suspended the laws of physics.
Yes.
And he did what you're not supposed to be able to do.
That's right.
When he arose from the grave, the disciples were talking with one another, and it says he just appeared in amongst them. And they thought it was a spirit. That would be a logical conclusion. But then he asked them if they had anything to eat. He sat there and ate honey and honeycomb. Spirits don't eat food like that. It tells you that the Lord has the power to be what he wants to be, wherever he wants to be.
Praise God.
And when I consider that, then you consider that he can suspend the laws of physics and everything that man has come to know about how to generate all of this power from releasing and splitting the atoms, that when he releases all of this, and there are atoms in everything that you see, then this place will be burned up.
Yes.
And it won't take long at all. Now you consider, when that happens, where are you and I going to be? Some people are afraid of heights. It won't matter in that day. You and I need to consider. I'm mindful, as I mentioned to some of the saints in Oregon, I remember riding on a plane coming home from San Francisco on company business. And it was a pretty big plane. Wide body plane. A lot of people, the plane was full, but we hit some turbulence and it shook that plane like it wasn't too big at all. Made a lot of people nervous. And I remember the lady sitting across the aisle from me had such a hold onto the armrest of her seat that I thought, if this plane goes down, they'll find her with that seat because she's got a death grip on it. And then, while this turbulence was tossing us around, the plane would drop. Sometimes it would kick it up and shake it to the side and whatnot. And I finally thought, well, no need of worrying too much about this. Might as well just try to go to sleep and wait till he gets out of this and he snooze out. And being in an aisle seat, I thought the stewardess are not coming to serve anybody anything, soda, cookies, or whatever. So I just stretched my legs out and said, I'm reclined the seat as much as it'll recline, I'm going to sleep. But then we hit a spot where it really got the shaking, and I kind of set up a little bit, and this lady is looking at me with this real stare, just as big as can be. And I finally figured, well, she's probably wondering, how could I sit here and go to sleep when this plane is getting shook around like it's getting shaken up?
Yes.
Maybe she thought I didn't have good sense. I don't know. But you know, the thing I also consider is that if it goes down, there's nothing I can do about it. And it'll just, you know, about all you can say is, Lord, stick your hand up under this plane.
Amen.
And take it on through here. She didn't understand my viewpoint that way because she didn't know anything about me. I didn't know anything about her. But it shook her up real bad. When they finally got into the smooth air, they said, all right, the captain got on. We've gotten through the turbulence. Now the stewardess are going to come and they'll serve you, you know, the way they used to do. And I remember when the stewardess got to her, the first thing this lady asked for was a Bloody Mary. And she drunk it, looked like in one gulp. And I thought she's trying to calm her nerves. But you consider, when this happens,
yes,
there won't be anything to calm your nerves.
That's right.
When this takes place, I am persuaded that, saved or not, everybody's going to get shaken up when this one happens.
Yes.
Because this will be something way beyond anything you've ever seen before. And you and I will know that Judgment time is here, and it's too late for me to do anything else about the situation. So I need to consider it now. Amen. You look upon it and think about what he's saying here, and he recognizes that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. People are asking, well, when is it coming? We've heard about this for 2,000 years, and it's still going on. But you know, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. He doesn't want people to perish. And I'm mindful, Sister Gladys Williams used to sing a song and say, wait a little longer, please, Jesus. A few more days to get our loved ones in.
Amen.
You and I need to consider, where shall I go?
Yes.
Revelation, the 20th chapter, the 11th verse. John saw this vision of the resurrection, the last judgment. And he said, I saw a great white throne.
And him that sat on
it. I saw the one that sat on the throne.
From whose face the earth,
the earth and the heaven fled away.
And there was no place for them.
I think about a group that used to sing a song that says, there's no hiding place down here. I went to the rocks to hide my face. The rocks cried out, no hiding place. You know, as we go along the way, they had another verse that said, the sinner man, he gambled and failed. The sinner man, he gambled and failed. The sinner man gambled. He gambled and he failed. He wanted to go to heaven, but he had to go to hell. No hiding place down here. You and I need to think about what we're willing to pay.
Amen.
To walk this narrow way. Read on.
And I saw the dead.
I saw the dead.
Small and great. Stand before God.
They were standing before God. These are the rich and the poor. These are the ones that nobody knows who they are. And the ones where everybody in the world knew who they were. Read on.
And the books were open.
They were open.
And another book
was open.
Which is the book
and
of life.
And it is the book of life.
And the dead were judged.
They were judged out of those things
which were written in the books
according to their works.
And the sea gave up the dead.
Which were in it.
And death and hell delivered
death
up the dead.
Death and hell delivered up the dead.
Which were in them.
Yes.
And they were judged every man
according to their works.
And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire.
Yes.
This is the second death.
And whosoever
was not found written in the book of life
was cast into the lake of fire. Lord have mercy. Now, think about this. The books were opened. There was an old group that, family that lived in Tulsa, Oklahoma. They used to sing that song, My Lord Keeps a Record of the Moments I'm Living Down Here. He knows all about me, all my troubles, and all of my fears. You and I need to consider. Sometimes you look around and people are having problems with this COVID-19.
Yes.
And my wife has heard some say, and I've heard some say, and others have heard some say, oh, they're encroaching on our rights. We don't have to wear no pants. Well, they feel like the government's pushing in and invading their privacy. But the Lord's got some books.
Yes.
And he's going to be able to expose everything that we've done. They don't think about that. But may God help us to stop and consider that each one of us is in control of what can be written in the book.
Right.
It's up to us as to what's going to be written there. But nevertheless, whatever we do, it will be written down. And you look upon it and consider, and there have been others that have tried it. I remember there used to be a tract that was out where some man thought, when judgment day come, I'm not going to be there. So when you bury me, you seal this tomb up a certain way. And you do this and you do that. Everything that he could think of, he thought, I'm gonna stay in there. He didn't think about the fact that the Lord said this, all of this is going to melt and dissolve.
Yes.
But he sealed it up, the track said, or had people seal it up when he passed away. And then a little fact of nature bust the tomb open.
Oh.
A little seed from a tree landed in a crevice. And as time went on with the rains and whatnot, it germinated and it began to grow. And the roots somehow began to work in such a way that they busted that rock to where the tomb was not sealed anymore.
Wow.
You see, you and I can't hide from God. He can find us in the most easy way, whatever he chooses to do.
Right.
So we're going to be there. I know there have been some I've known that said, cremate my body, take the ashes out to the ocean, cast them out into the ocean, and they're gone. Consider it when you think about people that have died in the ocean. Due to the wars and whatnot. And you kind of maybe have a picture in your mind that there's skeletons down on the bottom of the ocean floor. But as time goes on, that water will dissolve the bones and you won't see anything.
True.
You'll go there looking for a skeleton and there won't be anything there. But he said, death and hell, the sea, all of it is going to give up whoever died there.
Yes.
And then you think about this. All of those molecules that make up you and me, all of them be bad. Job said, yet in my flesh, I will see God. May the Lord help us.
Yes.
And he won't get us mixed up either. You understand what I'm saying? The molecules from this person that died in the ocean and the molecules of that person that died in the ocean won't be mixed up when they come back.
No.
Whatever they were when they died, that's what they will be when he comes back for us.
Yes.
And so we have no way of escaping his judgment. And yet he said he saw all of these people.
Yes.
And they were judged according to their works and what was written in the books. And when you consider his power and his authority, then you can see that when that time comes and when he makes that decision, we won't be able to escape. And we will be held accountable. Thought about that and you consider. You will be judged according to the privileges that you have. You can find that in the 12th chapter of Luke, the 48th verse. But you consider that sometimes we might take for granted the fact that we have the opportunity to go to church.
Yes.
Yes.
And people choose to ignore it, like, I don't have to go. Mm-hmm. I can do it at home. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking about under these kind of circumstances that we're living now. I'm talking about when everything is what we have come to call normal.
Yes.
And people are able to come and go as they please.
Yes.
And yet many will turn down that opportunity.
Yes.
But the writer let us know, but he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes
shall
be beaten with few stripes.
For unto whomsoever
much is given,
of him
shall be much required.
And to whom
men have committed much,
of him they will ask the more.
They will ask the more.
I am come to see.
That's good.
Amen.
But you consider, you've seen this happen in your own house when you were growing up. The children that were younger, maybe they didn't know as much, and the parents didn't hold them to as much. But have you ever heard those words, well, you old enough to know better?
Yes.
And your punishment was a lot different than maybe a younger brother or younger sister. So it will be with us in that day. We have great opportunity to come to know God and His will. And mindful, one writer had this to say about it. He said, from this and the preceding verse, talking about Luke 12, 47, 48, he says, we find in these verses that it is a crime. It is a crime to be ignorant of God's will. Because to everyone, God has given less or more of the means of instruction. Those who have had much light are the opportunity of receiving much and have not improved it to their own salvation and to the good of others shall have punishment proportioned to the light they have abused. On the other hand, those who have had little light and few means of improvement shall have few stripes, shall be punished only for the abuse of the knowledge they possess. You can't get by not knowing about God. I remember as a young person, I heard someone one time say, well, I don't want to get too deep because then God will be asking too much. And another one said, well, I don't want to get too close to the Lord. He might call me to preach. But what I found was that it wasn't long before both of those people were back out in sin because they chose not to try to get close to God. In other words, they was really choosing to be willingly ignorant of God and what He desired for them in their life. And so the writer says it's a crime for us to not know it. Because He told us to seek Him. He told us to study His Word. He told us to remember these things, and He said it was good for us to seek the Lord in our youth.
Yes.
So we're not going to get by because, well, see, I didn't know, I didn't understand. But did you have the opportunity to know? Right. Did you have the opportunity to understand? Did you not take advantage of that opportunity? Because if you didn't, He's going to hold you accountable for it. Yes. You had the privilege. A privilege that many people may not ever get as they go through this life because of the construction of their government, where they lived, and so forth. And so you stop and consider, we're going to be judged according to the privileges that we have had as we go through this life. The writer tells us in the 22nd chapter of Revelation with the 11th verse, he says, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. To me, this simply says, when you die, the way you are is the way you are going to stay. There won't be any changing after that. Won't be anybody praying you out of anything after that. Whatever it is then, that's it. So he said, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Now, I don't know what bothers you, but would you really want to be in a group of people where you find out that they are whoremongers, they are sorcerers, that they are murderers and idolaters? And when I say murderers, they don't even have to be someone who physically kills someone, but someone who will try to destroy somebody's influence.
Yes.
I had someone tell me one time, I want you to forgive me because I murdered you. And I looked at him like, okay, because I didn't know what they meant at first. And then as they talked a little more, I was like, all right, so they've been saying things, trying to tear down the influence, doing whatever they could. And I let them know, I'm all right, you forgive me. But you know, as you go along the way, do you really like to be around those kind of people? And yet, this is what will be there in the second death. this is the kind of circumstance people will find themselves in. And so he says, the one who does God's commandments, that person will have an entrance to the gates into the city. We'll be able to make it to heaven. And that's where we want to go. But it says you will be judged according to your works. What kind of works do you have? May the Lord help us. But we will be held accountable. And we're not going to be able to just explain things away. The writer tells us in the fourth chapter of James that we're going to be judged by understanding. The 17th verse says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin.
Yes.
So I can't get by trying to act like I don't know. I've got to consider, where am I going? And there are so many factors that will go into where I end up when eternity comes. Did I take advantage of those opportunities to listen and to learn of God and His Word? I remember hearing someone one time say, well, I've heard all I need to hear about that. I already know that. Well, I don't know if they knew it all or not. Typically, what I found is when a person makes that statement, they really haven't heard it all and they don't know it all. And there are things that they didn't know, but because of that approach, then they don't attend services, and you never know when you've missed out on something that you didn't know.
True.
You ever sit through a meeting and the minister or the person that gives an exhortation brings out a point and you're like, oh,
right.
That's why we're to be there.
Yes.
Because the Spirit knows what we need in this day and time. So I understand. If we know to do good, and there's another part right there. Many times somebody say, well, I didn't understand. I didn't know. But you know something? It's not all about that. I give an example. When I was working as a trainee, we were going to pull these big cables into a building. And because you have three-phase power, then that means there's a cable for each phase. So there's three of these cables. They're about an inch and a half in diameter, but they're very, very heavy. We got several men there, and we're trying to move this stuff in position so we can get it pulled in. Well, the man that was leading the way, he was getting all in a hurry, and one of the journeymen told me and a couple other trainees, he said, I don't want y'all up there at the front, because he could see what the man was really trying to do was going to be dangerous. And I thought about it, you know, but of course they didn't know what my background and experience was. And when I saw it, I thought, there's no way I'll be up at the front. So I was lagging behind on purpose. So I'd be at the very tail end. And then he got us like, hey, I don't want to see you all up there. And I thought, you don't have to tell me twice, because I already can tell this is not going to work and it's going to be dangerous on top. Well, in moving those cables, he was in such a hurry to get it going. Okay, everybody move them at the same time on the count of three, and one, two, three, and everybody's trying to move. But you can see that somebody was getting ready to get their hands mashed by these cables because of the way they had it strung out. And some of us was hollering, all stop. Which means for us, everybody freeze right where you are. But he wasn't hitting. No, keep going. So finally, the journeyman that we all had been working with stopped him. And he went to chewing on him. And then the person said, well, I didn't know. And he said, you didn't have to know. I was trying to tell you. You know, when you consider, sometimes people feel like there's some safety in that, well, I didn't know. But the safety is not there, because like for this man, had he really handled this in the right way, he would have stopped before he said, go and say, all right, are we all in position? Does anybody see anything that's going to be a problem when we get ready to move all of this? Instead of being in such a hurry to try to make a big show to the foreman. And so, I didn't know. And he told him, you didn't have to know. I was trying to point it out to you, but you wouldn't listen. The thing about this is, sometimes people will say, well, I didn't know. How many times has God tried to point it out to you? How many times has his spirit tried to speak to us in a way where we could step back a little bit and consider, what am I doing? What am I reading? What am I judging as I go along in this life? And so you consider, when you look at all of this, think about what's going on even today. Everybody here, people out in the world, some that have been amongst us and now are going off to different things, thinking that I got a better understanding and you all don't know this, you don't know that, you don't know the other. Everybody is making their own judgment as to what this word really means. Yes. Question is, are you making the right judgment?
Right.
Some have determined that, well, there's certain parts in here I don't need to do. Some have determined that, well, I'm not going to read that because I don't understand it. I can read this version here and it explains it better. And they don't even consider what's going on. Some I've even heard have gone as far as to say, well, you all are not looking at that right. But who's making that determination? Some say, well, I don't like this version, I'll read that version. How do you know that's the right interpretation?
Amen.
There's many things that go into this. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be held accountable. But in the end, we will all make our own judgment as to whether this word is true, whether it applies to me or not, and whether I need to really give my all to live in a way that God is pleased with or not. I'm going to make that determination as to whether I can do some things. And I remember telling my wife, I said, there was a man when I was in college. And, you know, in the summertime where I was working, one of my jobs was to cut the grass. One of the plants that I worked at, it was in the downtown area. So the area around it, they kept it looking nice and neat. And most people didn't even know there was a power plant inside the building. Because there was nothing outside on the building to tell you who that building belonged to. But I would cut the grass and edge it, and me and the building foreman would water it and do other things there as well. And when you consider one of the things that I sometimes did, because you're out there in the heat all day, I would wear a thermal underwear top. You know what those look like? And one of the reasons I wore it, it was white. What does the color white do when it comes to heat? It reflects. But he saw me several days. He's like, aren't you burning up out there? I was like, no. And he's like, well, you don't have to do all of that. So he caught me in the locker room one day. And he said, you know, you really don't have to do all of that. I mean, I know you're religious, but you don't have to do all of that. And you could, like, loosen up, slack off just a little bit. I said, there's one problem with that. He said, what? I said, for whatever that one thing is, I can't open the door and close it fast enough to only let that one thing in. Amen. You crack it open just a little bit and there'll be five or six other things coming in right behind. And when I told him that, he looked at me and he finally said, yeah, you got a point. I see what you're saying. You know, as we go through this life, we're making our own judgments. But the last judgment will be his. And some are determining, no, I can do this and it's all right. I can do that and it's all right. I don't have to do this. I don't have to do that. My sister-in-law one time called and I was cutting the yard and I get the phone and, why do the saints teach this way? And why do they have it so strict? And why does it have to be like that? And why does it have to be like the other? And I finally asked, I said, have you talked to anybody else about this? She said, yeah. I said, who? My mother. I said, what did she tell you? Well, she told me this, 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 and this.
Okay.
You talk to anybody else? Yes. What is, who was that? My brother. What did he tell you? Well, he told me about the same thing Mom told me. I said, and guess what? I'm not going to tell you anything any different than what they've already told you. You're going to have to decide and make a decision to buckle down and get real with this. Because what they teach is true. And you can say it's too strict. And I've heard some say, well, you got a lot of do's and you got a lot of don'ts. I don't have any of them. He does.
Amen.
Sometimes I tell the home folks, when you say something, say, look, I didn't come up with this. It's right here in his word. He said
it.
Kind of like daddy said. And so what you do with it is up to you. But you're making that judgment yourself. So you consider, after you have done whatever it is you want to do, however it is that you want to do it, what then? After you have done what you will, I've heard men say, well, I'm big enough and bad enough, I do what I want to, when I want to. When you've done all of that, and you meet God, what then? When you consider that after you have made your determination, because we are judging God's word. After you made your determination on what is right, what is wrong, what is okay, what is a no harm thing, what is of little or of great importance, and you meet God, what then? When you consider and you look upon it, after Cain killed Abel, what then? When the Lord dealt with him, he said, my punishment is greater than I can bear. But God didn't take it off of him. You consider, after Judas betrayed Jesus, and I guess he must have realized that this isn't going to turn out perhaps like he thought. In my own mind, I just kind of consider, after he saw the miracles, he just felt like, well, I'm going to go do this. They're going to pay me some money, and then he'll deliver himself some kind of way. And I can even ask him to forgive me, and then I'll still be one of his disciples. But when it didn't happen that way, he came back with the money. He told them, I have betrayed innocent blood. They said, what is that to us? More or less, they told him, that's your problem.
Right.
And you know, then he went out and hung himself. But even after he did that, what then? You consider when Daniel was put in the den of lions. Those men had talked to the king. They had brown-nosed the king, and he swallowed it hook, line, and sinker. Nobody asked or pray about anything except for you, O king, for 30 days. And they knew full well that Daniel was going to be right there where he'd been every day, praying to the Lord. And then they was waiting on him. He made his determination that God's word was worth giving up my life for.
Amen.
The king realized that he's been taken, but he still got to go through, and he tells Daniel, the God whom thou servest continually, he'll deliver you. He was sure hoping anyway. And then he spent a sleepless night waiting for morning to come so he could go and see what happened. And then he had them open it up, and Daniel is still there. But you know, those people didn't think about what would happen after that. They thought, we'll get rid of him. Those lions are hungry. They'll tear him apart from them to limb. We'll be rid of this Daniel, and he won't be over us anymore. But what happened when they pulled Daniel out of that den of lions? The king then told them guards, okay, now you take all of these and their wives and their children and you throw them in there. And the writer says that those lions was crushing their bones before they could hardly hit the ground. They didn't think about that, see. So it is with you and I, as we are going along in this way, whatever our determination is, some say, well, I don't see it that way. I don't agree with this. I don't agree with that. That's your privilege.
Yes.
But what are you going to do when you have to meet God? I'm mindful. I had a situation where we were working on the house we grew up in. And a inspector saw that there was some broken sheetrock on the porch because we had sheetrockers coming in putting new sheetrock on the walls. So he stopped. Come to find out that you needed a permit to put more than 4 sheets of sheetrock up. And they've gone through the whole house. So we get a nastygram sent to us out here. So I make an appointment. I fly in. And we meet with him at the house. And he wants to really give it to once over. And then he sees where the hot water heater is. And I'm supposed to have this vent that goes up into the attic. And he tells me it has to be put in by a licensed mechanical contractor. Can't do it myself. All I had to do was go to Home Depot, buy some single wall chimney, put it together, cut a hole in the ceiling, shove it up in there so it sticks up 3 feet above the ceiling, and it's 1 foot off of the floor, hold it in place, nail it down, and I'd have been done. But I had to have a licensed mechanical contractor. So I called the person that we used to do all the plumbing, because they were licensed, and the man told me, he says, you can do that. I says, well, he says it has to be somebody licensed. And the man told me, he says, I was on the committee when the city of Wichita came up with that code. And he says, you can do it. I says, you don't understand. He has the bat in his hand, and as far as he's concerned, I'm the dummy. So I got to go the way he goes, and I need you to come and get it done so that he can see it, sign off on it before I fly back home. So he said, well, he's just throwing his weight around. That's what he's doing. Like, well, very well he might be, but I got to go with it. When you consider, we can make our determinations, but in the end, God's going to have the final say-so.
Yes.
And it behooves us to make sure that what we have determined lines up with what he has seen.
Yes.
So where are we going to go as we meander through this life and different things are happening and upheavals are going on, seem like everywhere. And you run into people, and I've run into more than one where they told me, I've seen some things in history. I've learned some things, and it has changed my viewpoint of Christianity. I had someone else express that. I was in New York taking a walking tour of the Underground Railroad, and I heard the lady say the same thing, and I wanted to ask her, what were you getting your information from? But wasn't able to get to her to ask that. But nevertheless, as I told someone some time back, I said, well, you can make that determination, but then I got one other question. Whatever you think it is, we don't have to do. And when you think that there's stuff in this word that really isn't right because somebody changed it or whatever the case may be, what I want to know is, what parts of this do you think is wrong? Because if it's wrong, I don't have to do it. But I haven't seen anybody wade through the Bible yet to tell me all of that. And there's also, by way of what they're saying, there are things in here that are right, and I need to know what those are so I can make sure I'm at least doing that.
Yes.
But I haven't seen anybody tell me that. They just try to throw it all out. Oh, no, this is wrong, that's wrong. What's wrong? Well, I haven't read it, and it's not right. Well, specifically, what's not right? I haven't found that out yet. Mm. But you see, everybody's going to make their judgment on this. Now, I can say one other thing about it. From my own experience, when it comes to being sick and being healed, when you have died and the Lord brings you back, when you have been able to recall and rely upon God's word, and you pray and he answers prayer, when you even are bold enough or stupid enough, I'll say, as I was, to say, Lord, you said all things work together for good, but I don't see no good in this. And he doesn't even answer back. And I wasn't being flippant, but I was serious. I don't see it. And then several months later, I have a situation that takes place where I was working. I get a phone, a call over the PA, and the electrical foreman says, can you come down here and settle this argument about what you want done? And I'm thinking, why are they arguing about this? I thought we had an understanding, but as I am walking to where they are, the Lord says, you remember that time when you said you didn't see no good in the circumstances that you was dealing with at the time? Like, yes. He said, well, now, here's the good, and you're going to need that to resolve this situation. And it's just as true as the day is long, because it's like, yes, Lord. And I go down there, and I listen, and I use what came out of that situation, and it just quelled everything immediately. At that point, when I was walking away, I thought, I got to find me someplace to go pray. Because now I got to deal with God. So I walk out to the cooling towers, which were way out away from the plant. I knew people don't go out there unless they just have to. So I thought, I'm going to go out there and I'll just walk around. You can say I was killing time, but it's like, I'm going to go out there where I'll be by myself. And I got to pray and say, okay, Lord, you got to forgive me. I spoke too soon, and here we are. But may God help us as we go along. So what I'm saying is that with different experiences, you can come to understand for yourself God's word is true.
Yes. Thank the Lord. Yes.
And that means you need to obey all of it.
Yes.
So may the Lord help us as we travel through this life. The writer lets us know that ninth chapter of Hebrews, the 27th verse, and as it is appointed unto men once to die.
Yes.
But after this,
the judgment.
The judgment.
Yes.
And you know something? Many a times you will know where you are already.
Yes.
I am mindful we would get chores to do. But you know, you always have them situations where somebody's going to go somewhere. Oh, mama, daddy, can we go too? You got your work done? No. Then you can't go. You got to stay here and get your work done. And I've seen other times where, much like people in this day and time, when my mother started working, the six of us would be at home by ourselves from about 5 to about 9:30, maybe 10. So, we knew we were supposed to get, make sure whoever's turn it was to wash dishes for that week, make sure they get the kitchen clean, the dishes are dry, they're all put away, living room is swept and clean and whatnot. But you know what happened with six kids? We started playing football in the house. We was having a good time, 3-on-3. Three boys and three girls, and we're playing football. But the time came, while we was having all of this fun, that we heard a door slam. I said, my mother couldn't drive, so the lady that she worked with would stop by and pick her up and then drop her off, and then she would go on home. So we hear the door slam when the car is out at the street, at the curb. And when that happened, we all stopped playing immediately. We were throwing stuff up under the divan, hiding stuff under the rug. And you didn't have to tell anybody, well, you do this and you do that and you do the other. It was like instantly we all knew we got to get all of this done before she walks up on that porch, from the street to the porch. And then we need to be sitting down like we've been behaving ourselves. And I remember when she got ready to come through the door, she's unlocking the door and it's like, oh, right by the door, I can see this lump up under the rug. She's going to see that and we're going to be in trouble. She opened the door and she walked on in and she went back into the kitchen and I reached under that rug and grabbed whatever it was and tossed it in the bedroom real fast so she wouldn't see it. Well, my point is this. We were from the ages of like 3 to 11. And we all knew we better get this done instantly or we're going to be in trouble because judgment time is coming. And I tell people nowadays, some of them say they spank their children. I say, you don't even know what a spanking is. Or a good whooping. But see, we knew. Right then, we knew. What I'm saying there is that when people meet God in the judgment, I know the writer said, well, some are going to say, Lord, didn't we do this? Didn't we do that? But you're going to know. You are going to know. And you'll know right then it's a hopeless case. But may God help us. Because if we know then, we know now. And it's for us to look to him and to respond to his dealings, his pleadings. And it is up to us to discipline ourselves, if you will, to where we apply ourselves to learn God's word. To dig into, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? What is your will for me? Because it is every man's duty to come to understand that. And as the writer said, it's a crime. Now, when you do a crime, what happens? They catch you, you're going to do some time, you're going to get punished for it. And he's saying it is a crime to not know God's will. Because we have that opportunity. We have his admonition and command to find out what his will is. So may the Lord help us to prove faithful to him and to find out what he would have us to do in this life so that we'll all be ready.